The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to Monday, March 2nd. This is The Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. I'm Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today. As always, we are live and local here at the WTBR studio on Federico Drive. And today we are going to be talking about a pretty heavy subject, an important one, though, and it is about mental wellness. And suicide prevention and having conversations about suicide so that we can help break down the stigma on that subject. So because we need to be talking about this. So in studio, we'll get to them in a moment, but just to let you know who is here with me today, I have Sean Milley, who is the president of the board for the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and Sabrina Stiles with the Breen Center. She is the Adult Mobile Crisis Intervention Program Director. So we will be back in a moment with Sean and Sabrina to talk about this very important subject, but first, we're going to check on the weather for Berkshire County.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny, cold with highs in the mid-20s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, cold with lows around 8 above. Temperature rising to around 15 after midnight. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a chance of snow in the morning, then mostly cloudy with snow and rain likely in the afternoon. Snow accumulation around an inch possible. Highs in the mid-30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there is the weather. A little cooler this morning than we've been used to in the past week. We've been spoiled this past few days, haven't we? But we know better here in Berkshire County. We know that it is only the beginning of March. So there is standby. There's more to come, right? So again, this morning, folks, if you're joining us now, our topic today is going to be about suicide prevention. And we have some great representation on that subject here today in studio. We have Sean Milley, who is the president of the board of the Coalition for Suicide Prevention. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being in here. And we have Sabrina Stiles. Sabrina is the Adult Mobile Crisis Intervention Program Director for the Breen Center. Good morning.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for having me. Good morning.
Oh, thank you. So again, this is, you know, it's a very important subject that we need to be talking about. Let's talk a little bit about what each of your programs provide to the community. I'll start with Sean.
Sure. Yeah. So our biggest focus in the community is connecting people to hope. And we do that in many different ways. You probably see us out in the community tabling at different events. We've started over the past year and a half or so to start holding our own events. But, you know, we talk about resources a lot, and people is a resource. So having people come together at a community event is huge, because somebody might actually find some support there. You know, in addition to that, we also provide education. There's a presentation many of our board members are trained in called Talk Saves Lives. It's about an hour presentation giving some tools and background information about mental health and suicide prevention, as well as a few other programs. One being a lost survivors group for those that have lost a loved one to suicide. And that meets twice a month, once in person, once virtually. And I can share a little information about that a little later on.
Sure. And just to be clear, the coalition is not a crisis line. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Yes. We are not a crisis line. We are not, although some of our board members are mental health professionals, we do not do any sort of treatment. we really connect you with the help that you need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would most likely, if somebody was struggling, suggest reaching out to the 988 helpline to receive, to be able to speak with somebody and get the help that you need. Or more locally, we would recommend people to the Breen Center's crisis line.
Mm-hmm. So it's more of a sort of a resource directory in a sense. I mean, is that fair to say? If you go to the website,
yes.
What are people going to find that could be helpful?
You will find a long, long list of resources. Mm-hmm. And we don't just list mental health resources, because with suicide, mental health, it's never just one thing. We want to make sure people are finding what they need to support themselves and their loved ones. But we're more like a live resource guide.
Mm-hmm. All right. And where can people find that information?
So all that information can be found on our website, which is berkshirecoalition.org. And if you ever have any questions about different programming that we do or other resources, you can contact myself at info@berkshirecoalition.org.
All right. Thank you. Sabrina.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Good. Thanks. So your role with the Breen Center is the Adult Mobile Crisis Intervention Program Director, right? Can you talk a little bit about what that is and maybe a little bit more about the Breen Center in general, whatever you want to share with us today?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
So I work for the crisis team, and we are located at 334 Finn Street in Pittsfield. We're open 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. We provide risk assessments to people who are presenting from the community, doctor's offices, schools, sometimes hospitals refer people to us. And we will provide, have a clinician go in and sit down and speak with them. The way I describe crisis is, what do you do next? People come to us in a heightened state of frustration, despair, feeling hopeless. And what we try to do is try to connect them to the best services that will help them resume their pre-level crisis function. Mm-hmm. So that consists of, we do follow-up with people. So if we see you the first day, we offer in-person follow-up, meaning that we will meet with you in your home, in the school, in the doctor's office, wherever you are. You can come to us. Like I said, we're a mobile crisis team. Mm-hmm. So we provide ongoing services, and then we connect people to other services. I believe, in my experience in 37 years of doing this work, that education and resources are the two components to suicide prevention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we also have a clinic attached to us. We're CBHC, Center for Community Behavioral Health Centers. I have to remember those acronyms. Uh-huh. And our outpatient, so a lot of times people come through us through crisis, and they're looking to be connected to an outpatient psychiatrist or outpatient therapist. And the beautiful thing about CBHC is there's no wait. Mm-hmm. There's no wait list. Any of the other programs around here, some people are saying they're waiting a month, 6 months to a year to be connected to a provider. Mm-hmm. And again, that is how you embrace suicide prevention, by providing services in the here and now, not mm-hmm. next month, not 6 months from now, in the here and now.
Right.
So, I can give the hours.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So our CBHC is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays 9 to 5. We have walk-in hours Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We suggest those are the best times to come, but we also do intakes on the weekends as well.
Okay. And so those are the best hours to come in. And that's the facility on Finn Street?
334 Finn Street.
Okay. What if somebody is in crisis, middle of the night?
We are
early
open
hours.
They call us in the middle of the night. We have an overnight clinician.
Okay.
And they will give us a call and they assess it. Sometimes we send the police with them, mm-hmm. depending on the situation, if we want to make sure that the client is safe and the staff is safe.
Right.
So we operate 24 hours around the clock.
Okay. It's just that if you require some services that may not be at the level of a crisis that you would prefer that they come during those other hours when maybe you have a little bit more resources available during those day hours?
That would be most recommended. Yep. But we also have a setup where if someone comes in, mm-hmm. We have a relaxing, nice chair that people can sit on, a lounge, and we give them, you know, something, some snacks, a cup of coffee, some water to help them to calm down and relax until, like, say if somebody comes at 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
And we don't come in until 8. Mm-hmm. So that little bridge, but to mm-hmm. keep people safe. Safety is the key.
Right.
To make sure that people are safe. Right. We never send somebody out.
Right, right,
right.
We always
want to make sure to, you know.
Sure, of course. You've got this. You have the safety network, and that's in place for that moment in time when it's most needed. Got it.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned earlier there was a talk of 988, which I think is very important that we talk about that so that people are aware. Thankfully, more and more people do know about it, but here's a great opportunity to revisit that. Sean, could you talk a little bit about 988?
Sure, yeah. So 988, as I mentioned, is a national helpline. There is always somebody answering the line there, so you are getting a person. When you call in to 988, they will ask where you're calling from, not to track you, turn you into some statistic. They ask because they want to connect you with help in the right location. For instance, you buy a cell phone here in Berkshire County, your area code is 413. If you don't stay here and you move away, you know, your area code's different. And if people are just going off caller ID, you might get connected with the wrong place. So it's important to do that. They do speak with you about what's going on to kind of see, are you in a more crisis situation? Or is this something that, you know, they can make some recommendations for follow-ups and that sort of thing. But, you know, you get connected with a person. There's no judgment at all. And, you know, like I said, that this is available around the clock. So 988, text or call. They do have an additional line for Spanish-speaking people.
Mm-hmm.
And also a special line for veterans as well.
All right. Because particularly with the veterans, for one, there may be a greater concentration of people at risk in that mm-hmm. population, right? So they want to have a dedicated line for that. And there's probably people there who can relate to maybe some of the details in those people's lives that they're going through, right?
Yes.
Maybe they speak the military language or something to that effect that makes it more welcoming for
them
to call,
right? They have individuals from various backgrounds, but there also is some extensive training as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just somebody coming in off the street and answering the phone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They do go through some training. So that way, mm-hmm. you know, they are speaking to individuals in ways that are beneficial.
And Sabrina, I want to ask, before I get to you, I just want to throw something in here about the 988, because I think you were at the other end of some of those 988 calls. So, but before we get to that transitional part, I just want to point out that, from my knowledge about 988, is that it was designed specifically not to be 911. Because with 911, you know, there are times, no doubt, that the police need to be involved in these situations, right? If there's a true risk of somebody getting hurt, then 911 needs to be involved. But if somebody just calls because they're having a bad day, they're having maybe considering suicide, they're just thinking about it, and they wanted to reach out to somebody, and if they call 911, there's a package response. And sometimes, you know, that's not necessarily what's needed. That's what happens. That's part of the deal with 911. Mm-hmm. It just is, right? But that's why 988 was developed, so that if it's just a matter of, I just need to talk to somebody, or I'm thinking about dying by suicide, or have these thoughts, then you can talk to somebody who can be more therapeutic with you. And the important part about that, and it's meant to be encouraging so that people will call that number, because you don't want them to think, oh, if I do this, the fire department's going to show up, right, and the police. So you encourage them to call 988. And I know that there are operators who have said that they have regular callers, someone who calls once a week just to talk about some frustrations they're going through. And that's okay. It doesn't always have to be a full-on crisis, right? But the thing about that is, because 988 is not tracking you like 911, it doesn't have geolocation for you. Because of those reasons, if you're calling 988, in the moment where you've injured yourself or hurt yourself and now you want help, call 911. Because if you call 988, if they don't get to that point where they ask you where you are before, let's say, you lose consciousness, then no one's coming. So that's the important difference between those two. So, you know, as much as I like to promote 988, it's important that we tell people that if you get to that point where you're at really risk of losing your life, something, you've injured yourself, now you want help, it's going to be 911, not 988. Fair to say?
Fair to say.
Okay, good. So, so Sean, you described the caller end. People, mm-hmm. you know, anybody in the world can call 988. And they'll be asked where you're from, where you're located, and they'll direct them to local services. So that brings me to Sabrina. So have you been on the receiving end of some of these transactions?
Yes, okay. I have.
Transfers? Yes.
So they'll transfer the call to the crisis team. Our triage person will triage the call, come to myself or whoever's on as supervisor, and then we will move accordingly. Mm-hmm. There are times we do wind up sending the police. Sometimes we'll send a clinician out with a family partner or a peer support person for safety. And also, especially when we have an adult and a child, we send two people out, one person to work with the mom, the other person to actually assess the child. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about, in addition to 988, there is the Behavioral Health Helpline. Mm-hmm. And they, too, the same way, connect people directly to us to crisis. You know, they call crisis and they'll start the phone call off by letting us know who it is and that they're on the line. And then it's a nice warm handoff. Mm-hmm. And we've done that with 988 as well. But I've heard the same thing, that if you're physically hurt, 988, you might want to dial 911 first because of the whole tracking.
Right. Because at 988, they will get you medical help if the conversation lasts
that's
that long,
today, yeah.
And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take that risk.
Can I give the number to?
Please.
So the Behavioral Health Line, you can either call or text 833-773-2445. 833-773-2445.
Okay. Thank you. So that's a perfect example of how calling that national number will direct somebody to local services right here in Pittsfield. Right here in Berkshire County, so that person in need gets the services that are most appropriate for them. So what a great system to have in place, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
So let's talk a little bit about, well, actually, for anybody who's just joining us, I just want to bring you up to speed as to who's here in the studio. I have Sean Milley. Sean is the president of the board for the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. And I have Sabrina Stiles. Sabrina is the Adult Mobile Crisis Intervention Program Director for the Breen Center. And the topic today is suicide and suicide prevention and being able to have conversations about suicide and breaking down that stigma so that people feel more, have more agency in being able to get the help that they need. So let's talk a little bit about some of the signs of that we want to be looking for. I know that we all probably have that gut feeling every now and then about someone who's close to us at different levels. It could be someone very close or it could just be somebody we work with or we see every day. Something seems off. What are some of those things that we could be watching for? Sean, would you give us some of that information?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, the first thing you really want to pay attention to is a change in anyone's behavior. And of course, it may be more difficult with a young person just because of the types of things that they and we all struggled with as young people. But, you know, paying attention, asking questions, you know, you may ask a loved one, even a coworker, you know, Are you okay? You know, is something wrong? And at that moment, they may be fine, but they will remember that you asked. And down the road, if there is something going on, they may remember, oh, Sean asked me at work the other day if I was okay. Like, I think he's safe to reach out to and say, I need help. But changes in behavior is huge.
And so it's not just, I know there's like lists you can find where it's like sleeps late, doesn't eat enough. But, you know, I mean, a lot of our kids sleep till noon, right? So that's not, that doesn't mean that they're in trouble. It's when you see a change.
Right. So, you know, if you have a teenager that is sleeping until noon on Saturday, mm-hmm. you know, that's one thing. But maybe this is continuing throughout the school week, mm-hmm. right? And they're not wanting to get out of bed and going to school when you know that they were very excited about the programs and their classes and their friends. And with youth, that's another thing. Isolating from friends, you know, friends are so huge for young people. And if all of a sudden, you know, that they don't want to go, I was going to say go to the mall. That's not a thing around here. but, you know, it's paying attention and checking in. You know, that's what I would say for sure that you'd want to start with.
Yeah. Sabrina, you want to build on that?
I'm going to piggyback on that. Yeah. I say language is the key. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to ask someone, are you feeling like you want to hurt yourself? A lot of times clinicians are really uncomfortable asking someone when they endorse suicidality if they have a plan, because people think that you're leading them into talking about a plan or helping them develop a plan. That is not true. That is the only way to really find out what is going on with someone. I think it's important that when people, you talked about mood shifts, people giving away their belongings, people isolating from others, any change in major behavior. Somebody who writes a will and starts to let family members know that, major changes in behavior. They stop enjoying things that they used to get pleasure out of. I would say those are the biggest things. And then if we look at risk factors, right, we look at lack of resources, socioeconomic status. Mm-hmm. These are all things, you know, people have financial problems, not even to mention the political climate that we're in right now. And all of this stuff adds up. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say that, you know, people struggling with suicidal ideation, they're experiencing overwhelming feelings of pain and hopelessness. They're not weak. Mm-hmm. And that's so important, because historically we have looked at mental health as a weakness, and it is not a weakness. Right. I think there's strength in it. You just have to be able to tap into it and help that individual tap into their own strength. We talk about empowerment, right? Empowering people to know. Yeah, I tell people all the time, you're the bus driver, you know, and if all four wheels are going, we can go. And sometimes we get a flat. Sometimes we all have to get out and help change the tire. And that's where community comes back into it.
So. Right. And to that point, you know, language is vital, right? And how we talk about suicide. But when we talk about engaging someone that we're concerned with, what would you recommend as a way to have that conversation? Because I've heard, you know, I know that there was a misnomer there that it was, I think you hinted at this, that if you mention suicide, then you might be putting that thought in their brain. And that's been pretty heavily vetted that's not the case, right? That it's a thought that they already have in their head. And the fact that you're asking the question doesn't put it in their head. In fact, it actually kind of releases some of the anxiety that they may have, because it's only been in their head. And here it's like you're giving them permission to talk about it.
It creates a space.
It creates a space. They hear it. They may even say it for the first time, and it may sound different. You know, when you say something outside of your brain.
Yep. You take away its power.
Yeah.
You take away its power.
And it also opens that dialogue. So then you mentioned about asking about a plan, because like you said, lots of people can say things like, you know, I'm thinking about die. I just want to die. What, you know, they're having bad times. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're in crisis. So then you probe a little further with some of those other questions that you were saying. And so what would that conversation look like?
So sometimes I ask people questions like, so tell me, how long have you been feeling like this? Mm-hmm. And I always use the miracle question. Miracle question. Depending on the severity of depression, if the person's having a psychotic break, it may not work. But if somebody's really depressed, I may ask them something like, in a perfect world, what would your life look like? And sometimes people can catch that softball and run with it. Mm-hmm. And they can develop the ability to talk about how they're feeling. It's a very tricky, it's a case-by-case situation, because some people are very closed down and they don't want to, some people are fearful that they're gonna be sectioned into the hospital against their will. So again, every conversation is different because there's no two people. That's one of the things I love about crisis. Five people can present with suicidality, and each one of those individuals are very different. Mm-hmm. So every conversation, but it really is, I say within the first 7 to 10 minutes of an assessment, you have to be able to build rapport with the person. And when you're able to build rapport, that entire the conversation kind of goes very smoothly and very easily. But I always ask questions like, when have you felt like this before? What have you done in the past when you felt like this? Mm-hmm. Because those are key factors in, okay, maybe we can try this. Or what's changed? Give you another example. When we don't see somebody for 2 or 3 years, one or two things happens. They've either been doing very well. That's important information for us to know so we can build on that. Or they've flown under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And that, I think that point too about having agency in making those decisions is really important when you're having these conversations with folks, right, that you are concerned about. I mean, obviously, we got to do what we got to do to save someone's life, right? So there may be times where we need to involve, the police or court orders or whatever, right? But generally, when we're having those conversations, as we can better vet where they are in their situation, it's important to try to get them to have buy-in, right? Because, I mean, a lot of times, these are folks who already... Part of what their problem might be that they don't have control in their life, potentially, right? So to just dictate what their next step is for them isn't always going to be the best thing. So the best we, you know, if we can convince them that this is, that they think it's the best idea and that they're willing to go along with it and they have more agency, there's probably more likelihood that they will stick with the plan or at least... accept some of that guidance, right? If you can get them to have that buy-in.
One of the things, I like the way the term you use, the buy-in, that's why having family members and community members and anyone who is involved in their life, collaboration is at the foundation of the buy-in, right? The more people we have involved, the more, if an individual who is endorsing suicidality feels like they have what I call natural supports, unpaid professionals, family members, neighbors, community members, when they feel supported by those people, a lot of times it's an easier buy-in for them. It's easier for them to engage. They're not feeling the isolation alone. They know they're not going to be locked in a hospital and unable to get out for 72 hours.
Right.
So,
yeah. It's important to know that there's somebody maybe on the outside who knows you're there.
I always say that connection is part of the human condition. And we always have to have it. And I believe, I know it's true. If you look at, if we did a research project and we look at the majority of people who experience suicidality and hopelessness, lack of connection.
Yeah.
Lack of connection.
Yep. So there's a lot of that was about the conversations that we can have with folks. And Sean, you mentioned Talk Saves Lives is a program that is offered by the Coalition, right? That's a free program. And can you tell me a little bit about that and how people can get that that presentation if they wanted it?
Yeah, so Talk Saves Lives is created and trained by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We work very closely with them, and they, like I mentioned, they are the organization that trains many of our board members. And this presentation I mentioned a little earlier gives you the tools, hopefully, to help somebody that might be struggling with suicide. You know, there are a lot of statistics involved, a lot of tips, and like I mentioned, tools to use when speaking with people. It is a free presentation. So if you are interested, please, again, reach out to info@berkshirecoalition.org. Just say Talk Saves Lives. Let us know where you're calling from. So if you're a business organization, just let us know who you are, number of people that you think might be there. And, you know, we can arrange for this to happen. And when we present a Talk Saves Lives, you know, we also try to have an additional person there. Because as you're watching a presentation about a topic like suicide, it can be very triggering. So, you know, we are trying to educate, but we also want to support as well. So, you know.
So there's someone there. If someone needs to leave the presentation, you at least have someone to go check and make sure. That
yeah,
okay.
Just to check in, make sure, you know, bath and break. Okay, great. Awesome. Yeah, you know, sometimes you hear these things and it can, you know, over time, you mm-hmm. know, speaking with individuals about this, it can be triggering mm-hmm. if you've had an experience yourself or had a loved one. Mm-hmm.
And when you say a presentation to an organization, I mean, it doesn't have to be an employee or an employer. It could be a church. It could be a civic group.
Any place that people are gathering. Or, you know, if it was a much smaller scale type of situation, ask about it anyway, because we'd love mm-hmm. to get the information out there, because information is a great resource to help and suicide.
Okay. All right. Thanks. And so we are just going to take a break. We are at the top of the hour here already. We're going to take a pause for our station identity, and we're going to thank some of our underwriters. And when we return, we will continue this conversation with Sean Milley of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention and Sabrina Stiles of the Breen Center. So stay tuned. Come on back, and we'll continue this conversation.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Need help with a new device? PCTV's Digital Navigator can match you with a free laptop, desktop, tablet, or hotspot from our available stock, thanks to the Alliance for Digital Equity. We'll also assess if your current device is worth fixing or ready to recycle. Get a free consultation at PCTV 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
If you thought you knew your music, think again. It's time has come to experience a full spectrum of music. You're locked into the Majestic Michelle Radio Show. I'm Michelle, and every Tuesday from 10 to noon, we're bridging the gap between genres, generations. We'll give you the smooth, iconic moves of Elvis, the raw power of Shinedown to Alabama and everything in between. Please listen to 89.7 WTBR-FM every Tuesday from 10 to noon.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, and welcome back to the Morning Drive. I am Brian Burkle. I am your host this morning. This is WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. So thank you for joining us today. This is March 2nd, Monday, beginning of the week. I used to do these shows on Fridays. It was so much more fun to say, welcome to Friday. Now I say, welcome to Monday. And it's like, But well, we try to make it the most of it anyway. So for folks listening, if I just want to bring to your attention, if you are one of our members here at PCTV and WTBR, is that later in this month, March 20th through 22nd, are the PSA days, where you have the opportunity to come in and use the facilities here to film and record a radio a PSA, as well as do something, make a video commercial, if you will, PSA for your organization. So please go to our website at PCTV and follow the instructions if that is something that you want to do. There are limited spots, but it is a couple of days worth of opportunity. So do look that up, see if that'll fit into your schedule, and let us know. So before we get back into our conversation, which is about suicide and suicide prevention and services that are available here in Berkshire County to provide some guidance and support and some hope, we have in studio Sean Milley, who is the president of the board for the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and Sabrina Stiles, who is the Adult Mobile Crisis Intervention Program Director with the Breen Center. And before we start back in that conversation, I do want to check back in with the weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny, cold with highs in the mid-20s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, cold with lows around 8 above. Temperature rising to around 15 after midnight. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a chance of snow in the morning, then mostly cloudy with snow and rain likely in the afternoon. Snow accumulation around an inch possible. Highs in the mid-30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, that is our weather. So today's conversation is about suicide prevention. And we have here Sean Milley with the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention and Sabrina Stiles with the Breen Center. Sean, you know, it is the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. And, you know, we all know, all us Berkshire folks, we know how the geography of Berkshire County can be challenging sometimes for sharing ideas and resources back and forth, north and south, more so than back and forth, right? So obviously a lot of concentration ends up being here in the central Berkshire County, because this is where the larger portion of the population is. But we always want to make sure that we're including from top to bottom. Tell me a little bit about what the coalition is doing to reach out to the north and south parts of our county.
Yes. So, you know, we, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we participate in a lot of events throughout Berkshire County. Unfortunately, a lot of these events do end up happening in Pittsfield. You know, a big part of that is, you know, Pittsfield's considered very centralized. It's not, when you think about how big Berkshire County is, but for the most part, it makes planning things very convenient. You know, venues, much more options in Pittsfield. But over the course of a few my time with the coalition, many people at conferences, these events have mentioned that there's a need for more support up in North County. So, you know, Adams, North Adams, Williamstown, the towns I'm forgetting, because I know there's a lot. So, you know, we recognize that there's a need. And so one of the things we have done is entering a partnership with Williams College. And, you know, thinking of college students, you know, that is I remember being in college as well, and that it's a very stressful time, you know, added into anything else that might be going on. So, you know, it's a demographic that is needed to be reached out to. And, you know, a part of the program or part of the partnership is creating an ambassador program up in North County where these students would be able to help us reach the community, get resources out there, get information out there, build that connection that we all have been talking about. You know, there's a few other projects that we're working on, but really creating visibility out there in the community. Mm-hmm. So people know who to turn to ask for help, or at least guidance to get help. And that's huge. Mm-hmm.
And as far as Berkshire County goes, what can you share about how Berkshire County compares to other counties in the state as far as rates of suicide?
Well, Berkshire County is the highest, I believe, correct, next to Hampden County.
Yeah, and I think the Cape also is very high.
Hampden. Yeah, but I think Hampden is right behind Berkshire County, and so Berkshire County as a whole, as we're saying, you know, it's huge. Mm-hmm. So trying to reach out to all of Berkshire County is difficult, and so. You know, one way I'd love to, you know, reach out to Berkshire County is saying, if you're interested in helping get the word out there, help us possibly end suicide. We're looking for volunteers. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, we're looking for people to help us spread the word.
Yeah, because to your point there about being able to get those resources from the coalition standpoint out across the county is that. From what I understand, a good number of the membership is central and south located. So if you could find some volunteers from the North County, that would help be able to get that word out a little bit better.
Yeah.
So if somebody's interested in volunteering, they can go to the website. Is that the best way?
Yes, that's the best way. And also, if you have any kind of office, front desk, any kind of situation where you're able to put out resources, brochures, things like that, also reach out to the coalition. We'd love to get you whatever you need to help us spread the word.
Thanks. Yes.
I just wanted to piggyback. I had some numbers. They're 2021 to 2022. From a regional context, when you spoke of that, Berkshire County is higher than the overall mass rate of 8.5 to 9.3 per 100,000, which is higher than the national average suicide rate. Mm-hmm. Now, those numbers are a couple of years ago, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why do we think that is? What is it because of our rural sort of environment?
It definitely
environment
has a lot
here?
To do with... So to give an example, essentially, the crisis team is located in Central County. It's a 45-minute drive just to North Adams. We're not talking around the surrounding towns. Same thing. It's a 45-minute drive or 35-minute drive just to Great Barrington. But if we do Sheffield, we do all of those surrounding little towns, hill towns, if you will, definitely the... geographic, there's a huge, like I say, an hour. There's a good hour in between, and that's in the middle of the day.
Right.
So I believe that and lack of resources. I worked in the Valley for 30-something years, and when I came here 8 years ago, it was like I stepped back into a time zone. I was like, oh, my God. So things, it's almost like the we're not part of Western Mass, but we really are. So, yeah. We definitely need more resources. And that speaking, ALD, the American Legion Drive in North County and North Adams, Crisis has a clinician that is stationed there. So you can also receive crisis assessments and crisis support there as well.
Okay. Now, when you talk about additional services, you know, I know the Breen Center has quite a few resources and programs. There's really a real strong continuum of care through their programming, right?
Absolutely.
Was there something in particular that you wanted to touch on?
I wanted to talk a little bit about OBOT, our office-based addiction treatment. It's Suboxone, and it's used for people who have opioid addiction, also alcohol use disorder. And you can get connected within the same day or within a couple of days. So we really, because we see a lot of suicides related to substance use disorder. So in an attempt to decrease the amount of people who overdose or the amount of people who intentionally engage in suicide, we have what's called OBOT, which is different than methadone, medicated assisted treatment. But if you call our 1-800-252-0227, you will be connected with someone, and we will do a nice, not even a handoff, we will connect you to speak with someone. We have nursing on our staff. We run groups at 334 Finn Street. We have Aerie for art, chill skill groups for kiddos. They run in increments like 4 weeks, 5-6 weeks at a time, and then they'll take a 2-week hiatus, and then they'll come back up. We also have a substance use group that we're working to start back up again. So there are a lot of different programs. There's a lot of help there. And I think sometimes when we separated from the hospital, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people didn't even realize that Breen still had crisis.
Okay.
And we still work collaboratively with the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone goes to the hospital and they receive an assessment, the hospital calls us to conduct the follow-up. Mm-hmm. So we do the continuum of care because crisis, the hospital clinicians don't have the ability to do it.
Right.
So.
And that's an important part for people to understand that there are so many different programs and there are so many different resources, either through the Coalition or through the Breen Center or other resources here in Berkshire County, because, you know, we're not just here to scare people, right? We need to talk about the truth of how serious this matter is here in Berkshire County and across the country and across the world, for that matter. But what we want to emphasize here today, and that's why the two of you are here, is to let people know that there is hope, that there are programs that can be implemented well before someone reaches that point of crisis. And that's ultimately the goal, right? Obviously, you know, things happen and people do reach that point. And, we all recognize that coming, that gut feeling, but it's important for us to understand how to address that. That's the part where people back off or get scared, right? Well, I don't know how to say anything. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I'm going to say the wrong things. So going back to, like, Talk Saves Lives, that's a great program for people, just everyday person, to be able to mm-hmm. learn a little bit more confidence about what they could say if they have that concern. And then it's important to know that there are places like the Breen Center. You can go to the Breen Center if you have concerns for somebody who has addictions or some other struggles, right, that could lead to a crisis. And that there are preventative measures available.
We provide support as well.
Right.
So you don't have to just be having suicidal thoughts to call the crisis team. We provide support. Mm. Sometimes people, again, just need someone to talk to.
Right.
And in that instance, we're talking about preventive care.
Mm-hmm.
So engaging with someone on a 15-20 minute call because they're struggling that day just might be what keeps them from progressing to becoming suicidal.
Right. And then we recognize, too, there's so many upstream services here, just in general. I mean, because Sean, you'd mentioned earlier, it's not always just one thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost rarely one thing.
Yeah.
It's a mess of all kinds of things going on. And we all have stuff going on in our lives, right? It's never one thing. But in some cases, it can be really crushing for somebody. And that could include things like food insecurity, struggle with paying their rent and all these sort of things. So talk about a little bit some of those services that are available that we connect with and some of that upstreaming that the Coalition does.
Yeah, so one thing, you know, when I say that the Coalition tables at events, you know, we have materials well outside of mental health. So we have information from elder services, right? A demographic that is constantly, just very, very struggling with suicide and struggles because of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these individuals are unfortunately in a nursing home. Family isn't visiting, or they're at home and their family lives thousands of miles away and they feel similar to people living in a small town, very isolated. Parents, we talk about resource, diapers. We have information on the Berkshire Diaper Project, BCAC for fuel assistance, other assistance with utilities. I don't know if I said the Elizabeth Freeman Center, for support for women. And I mean, the list goes on and on. Another organization, that works very closely to both of us is Love of Tea. They offer peer support, and they recently moved into North Adams to offer, support up there as well. So, you know, there is a lot of resources out there. We try very hard at the Berkshire Coalition to list as many of these on our website as possible. If for some reason you're one of those organizations out there and you're not listed, reach out to us and let us know, because we would love to have your information out there to help the people that need it.
Yeah, because for the rest of us here in, you know, us laymen and women out here who aren't the professionals, and we do want to be able to find a way to help out. It's not always engaging in that moment of crisis, but trying to think ahead. What are things I can contribute to in this community that will help mitigate those risks and mitigate that possibility of people getting into crisis? So there's all these different options that are available.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of think broader, you know, like, what else can I do in the community that can help people, you know, give them a little bit more lift, right?
When you speak of things of that nature, I think to myself, one of the things that CBHC allowed us to do was to purchase coats and all kinds of health and beauty aids, little packets to give people socks, hats. So when people come in, you know, we only have one shelter here in town. So we had sleeping bags. We have blankets. I'm trying to, if we can't connect them to a local shelter, some people choose not to stay in shelters. So we'd like to be able to help them be safe and warm. I always call it, sometimes it's an old social work slogan, and I don't really jargon, but it doesn't really play well in the ASWB world, but we meet people where they are, you know,
yeah,
very important. So, and we work with we work with Elizabeth Freeman. We work with a lot of the agencies we work with the Multicultural Bridge Center. I've sent people down there.
Sure. Down in South County.
Yep. Down in South County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was just going to say, I love that you said meet people where they are, because it with suicide prevention, a huge thing is just being there for someone. I can't tell you the amount of times I've had people come up to me in the community at these events. They know I'm with the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and they tell me their story, and it's touching. It's heartbreaking sometimes, but that person needs someone to talk to. They need to be heard. So, you know, that's another tip for everybody out there. You know, somebody wanting to talk to you, it may not seem huge in the moment, but for that person, it was huge in that moment. So, you know, just be willing to lend an ear to someone.
And because we really want to have this messaging about being hopeful, I understand you have a little something, Sabrina, that you'd like to share with us.
You
want to take this moment to do that?
Thank you.
Okay.
This is a poem that I wrote. It's called The Bridge We Build. In the quiet between heartbeats, where the pain whispers soft and low, a spark of hope still lingers, a light we can all grow. Prevention starts with listening and learning how to see the signs that someone's fading behind a silent plea. Knowledge becomes the lifeline, education our guide, showing where compassion and understanding reside. Resources are the anchor for those who drift in despair, reminding every soul that healing begins when someone cares. It's not one act, but many. And at CBHC, we are strong and kind, and we refuse to leave anyone behind. Each word, each open conversation, each shared bit of truth and grace creates a bridge to safety where darkness loses its space. So let us keep building together with courage as our art, for suicide prevention begins with knowledge, love, and heart.
Perfect.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well put. And I think we probably could have saved ourselves an hour and just heard that poem. I think you've encapsulated everything right there. But thank you for doing that. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for having me in this space to share it.
So we still have a few more minutes to talk about some of the things that are available out there. You know, I think an important part is, and again, this goes back to things like the Talk Saves Lives and the resources that people can go to, including 988, which we'll make sure we revisit that again before we close here today, that if you are worried about somebody, that you can call 988 too, right?
Yes.
It doesn't have to just be the person who is, you know, struggling in crisis or just having a bad day, right? Because I said you don't have to be in crisis to call 988. You could be someone who is concerned for somebody and you just don't know, what should I do? You can also call 988. But this Talk Saves Lives is also a great resource to tell people, what are those key words you can say? What are the things you shouldn't say? So why don't we touch on that real quick? So if you're going to engage with somebody that you're concerned about, right, you think that they're at risk for suicide, and then you've had that conversation, and they, especially if they say that they may be, what are some things we want to be careful not to say? Is there anything that we want to avoid to not close them down?
Well, one thing I was going to say, and I think Sabrina, you touched on this earlier, was that, you know, you want the person to feel empowered. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to talk to somebody and make them feel like they're doing something wrong. Unfortunately, for some people, they feel like suicide is the only way out, the only way to fix what's wrong. And so, you know, one thing we try not to, with the coalition anyway, is to not say commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is putting a lot of shame.
So we're changing the language.
The language. Yes. And you also mentioned language too earlier. And, you know, just, we're people. We have feelings. Mm-hmm. Remember that when you're talking to someone.
Yeah. 'Cause like the word commit, when you say commit, what do we think of, right?
Marriage.
Well, that's commitment.
Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
hospitalization.
Yes. Yeah.
Against
yeah.
being locked away against your
yeah.
will.
Yeah. Or also when you say commit you say you commit a sin.
Right.
You commit a crime.
Right.
And we don't want this to be
negative connotation to it.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have that negative connotation to it, how are you going to have that conversation, right? So, sorry, go ahead.
No, that was a great add-on. Yeah. You know, and the only thing I was just going to add is that, you know, a lot of the times we tell people it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because just because you don't have a good day and you don't have a bad day, I mean, well, you still have a day. You're still here. You're still with us. You're still loved.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a day.
Yeah. And where when you are talking to somebody who you are concerned about, obviously there are probing questions that you need to hit, right? But generally, it's a listening session. Is that
more
fair
than
to say?
Anything else? When I train clinicians, I tell them active listening mm-hmm. is the key to being able to do this work. When we talk about language, one of the things I say is, you know, I never ask somebody what's wrong with you. What happened to you?
Mm.
You see the difference in that language? Because what's wrong with you puts, like, you did something. Mm-hmm. It puts the blame on you. You talked about shame, Sean. We always want to move away from shameful language. We always want to look at talking about, like, I always like to ask people to do things from an objective mm-hmm. point of view, not subjectively. Because we are human and we do have feelings. And it is important to know that someone's here to listen to you. Someone's here to care. So... And that's, you can get all of that at the Breen Center at 334 Finn Street.
Yeah. And again, when, you know, we can approach people when we're concerned for them, kind of, you know, vet what's going on, right? See what level they're at, where they need the help. Is it something that just that conversation is going to be enough to get them in a better direction? Or is it something where they need immediate care?
We have families that call. Family members concerned, and we take the call and we process it and we try, you know, we ask if we can speak to the individual mm-hmm. and when we can, we move forward from there. But we do get a lot of people, family members, moms of adult kids who call us that are concerned about their child, their children.
So we've got 2 minutes left. Let's talk about 988 again as a resource, because that's a national resource. Sean, would you touch on that for a moment?
Yeah. So if you know, you are struggling or have questions or for yourself or someone else, you can call or text 988 and you will be connected with somebody to help you in your situation. It may be referring you to some places to get some additional information. Or you may be connected with a local organization, very similar to the mm-hmm. Breen Center Crisis Line.
Mm-hmm. And then what is that, Sabrina, what is that number for the
Breen Center?
Breen Center, please.
1-800-252-0227.
Okay. So, again, our emphasis here, having the two of you here today, is to talk about the hope and the resources that are available. It's a scary conversation. Suicide is a very difficult thing to talk about. Yeah, there's a lot of stigma associated with it, and the only thing that breaks that down is having conversations. So mm-hmm. Thank you for being here to have those talks today. So as we wind down, again, Sean Milley with the Brooks Coalition for Suicide Prevention. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
And Sabrina Stiles with Sabrina. You are the Adult Mobile Crisis Intervention Program Co-Director. That's a lot on one card, right?
Yeah. It is.
Well, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
And so folks out there, just remember those resources, please. You know, there is hope out there. Don't try to deal with this on your own either. You know, especially if you're struggling, please do consider that there are people out there to help you. So go ahead with the week. Enjoy this week. Keep in mind our loved ones who are serving in the armed forces overseas, especially in the area of Iran this week. And enjoy the week. Take care, everybody. Thanks for joining us.